Thank you. You guys normally don't do that when I get up here. All right, so John chapter 20. John chapter 20. It's about time. I always tell Steve Brady and the choir they don't get enough recognition, so I was glad that you guys at least recognized me this morning. John chapter 20. We'll be looking at the passage there. Very familiar. During this Easter time, there was a small boy that ran home and excitedly told his parents that school was going to be dismissed for good on Friday, March 28th. And the mother's like, no, I don't believe that. And he goes, no, I got this note from the teacher, and the teacher's note said school will be dismissed at 11 a.m. for good Friday. March 28th. Now, he just read it a little bit wrong. And there was another Sunday school teacher that asked her class about the meaning of Easter. Little boy raised his hand and said, that's when we shoot off firecrackers and celebrate our freedoms. She's like, wrong. Then a little girl said, no, that's when we eat the turkey and give thanks. And she's like, nope. And then the third youngster, and the teacher was getting excited, she said, he said, I know, that's when Jesus comes out of the tomb. But if he sees a shadow, he goes back in. And we're like, you know what? The Sunday school teacher was losing hope. And one man put it this way, you might be a preacher if you've ever wanted to wish people Merry Christmas at Easter, because that's the next time you'll see them. Well, some of you can get right this morning and be here next week. All right, be here next week. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And we're going to start in verse 1. First day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher. Seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth, coming to Simon Peter, to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. We know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Then we look at verse 11, because now it seems to indicate that, all right, so Mary Magdalene sees the tomb empty. She runs, catches the disciples. The disciples beat her to the tomb. They're looking in the tomb. And then Mary Magdalene comes on the scene, but the disciples already seem to be gone. So this is the second time that Mary Magdalene now is at the tomb. But it says in verse 11, but Mary, this is Mary Magdalene, stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto him, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, notice the same question, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou had borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And that's where we'll stop. And we're going to look at this passage here this morning and hopefully glean from it some instructions. In the last few Sunday mornings, we've been looking at different folks that met Jesus. We talked about a Samaritan woman. Jesus was there in Samaria, and he came upon a well, and there was a Samaritan woman. And he met her and changed her life. And then a week later, we looked at a maniac of Gadara. He had demons, and it says that they were legion when Jesus came upon him and asked their name. It says legion, and that means probably between 2,000 and 3,000 demons were in that man. But then, after he met Jesus, he was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Last week, let's see if some of our folks remember. Last week, what did we talk about? What? We talked about the man because we were leading up to this week. Jesus was on the cross. There was two thieves. And the one turned to Christ. The other one mocked Jesus. But the one turned to Christ. And Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." This morning we look at a lady named Mary. Mary Magdalene. Probably years earlier, Mary Magdalene had met Jesus. If you look at the story, there's a lot of theories out there about Mary Magdalene. Some say that Mary was a lady of ill repute. There's nowhere in the scriptures that talk about that. What we do know is that she was demon-possessed. It says, I believe, that she had seven spirits. And when Mary came upon Jesus, Jesus cast out those demons, and then she became a follower. It is said, and it seems as though Mary Magdalene probably was someone of some worth. And the reason I say that is because if you then look Mary Magdalene and some of the ladies that followed Jesus, it says that they ministered unto him and to his disciples. Now, those of us that have children, I have four children. I know what it means to minister to my children. You know what it means? Lots of food and lots of money. All right, so here you have 12 disciples, and then you have Jesus, and it says that they ministered unto him. They provided food for him. They provided lodging sometimes. And so these ladies then had to be someone of means because they were taking care of Jesus and his disciples during his ministry here on the earth. God always takes care of those that are in the ministry. That's what I always think of when I think of that. But here we find Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene now is left alone, and we find her kind of despondent. And as we think about this passage here in verse 11, because we understand the first part, Mary comes to the tomb, and then the disciples, Peter and John, they come up and they look in the tomb, and then somehow they go away. Maybe they're going to go back and tell the other disciples that, hey, Jesus isn't there. Mary now is there, and she's despondent. Some time ago, a lady... This is changing it. You'll see where I'm going. Some time ago, a lady went into an ice cream shop, Beverly Hills, California. She went to buy an ice cream cone. She was shocked when Paul Newman walked in and stood right beside her. Although a little rattled, she was determined to maintain her composure. She paid for her ice cream cone. Then she confidently walked outside. Outside, she realized she didn't have her ice cream cone. Not wanting to look foolish, she walked back in a few minutes, kind of acting nonchalant and casual. When she didn't find her ice cream cone on the counter, she paused because now she had no idea where her ice cream cone was. A soft tap on her shoulder interrupted her. She turned to find herself face to face with Paul Newman. He politely suggested that if she was looking for her ice cream cone, she should look in her purse. All right, when Paul Newman showed up, an amazing impact was on this lady, wasn't it? All right, she got flustered. She didn't know what to do. And this morning, this is what I want to show you. When Jesus shows up in your life, he'll change you. He'll change you. And especially when you find the resurrected Savior. because Jesus, and I won't be flustered, and I won't be able to handle different things. No, when Jesus shows up, you're going to see Mary Magdalene, and Mary Magdalene is frustrated, she's flustered, she's upset, she's disappointed, she's unhappy, she's even unattentive as we look at it, because all these people are talking to her, she's unresponsive, because here is Jesus himself talking to her, and she can't even tell who it is. But all of a sudden, something changed, and the resurrected Savior calls out her name, and she remembers Christ. And she remembers what he did for her. Jesus, we're going to see, could show up, and he can change your life. Jesus, through history, has changed lives. Someone has pointed out Socrates, and this is going way back. If you don't know who Socrates, he was a great teacher, I believe, a Greek teacher, thousands of years ago. He taught for 40 years. Plato taught for 50. Aristotle taught for 40. Jesus taught for three. Yet the influence of Christ's three-year ministry is greater than the impact left by the combined 130 years of those three men I mentioned. They were the greatest philosophers of all time. If you go to some folks and they say, who are the greatest philosophers? Some might say Plato, some might say Aristotle, some might say Socrates, they may say somebody else. But you match Jesus up with any of them and their teaching, and Jesus' impact far outreaches them. Jesus painted no pictures. Yet some of the finest paintings of Raphael, Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci received their inspiration from Jesus. Jesus wrote no poetry, but Dante, Milton, scores of the world's greatest poets were inspired by him. Jesus composed no music, yet Haydn, Handel, Beethoven, Bach, Mendelssohn reached their highest perfection of melody in the music they composed when they were talking about Jesus. Every sphere of human greatness has been enriched by Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to look at this idea of when Jesus shows up. When Jesus shows up. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness. We pray that as we meet here this morning, Lord, we're celebrating Christ's resurrection. We take this passage here. It's such a great passage to think and contemplate on. But Lord, there may be someone here this morning that they've stepped in. Lord, it could be because their children, Lord, had been bugging them, or maybe they got a flyer, maybe someone said, hey, why don't you come out to church? And they said, well, that'd be good for Easter. Lord, we pray that in looking at the scripture here this morning, the Holy Spirit can deal with their heart, and Lord, they'd be able to meet Christ permanently. Forever. Lord, for there's many of us that have met Christ. We were lonely, we were despondent, we were down. Lord, we were facing a horrible future. But Lord, we met the resurrected Savior. And we thank you for that. Pray that you would do what I can't, and that is to speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in this passage you see a couple of things, and we're going to look at them quickly. Just a few simple points about Jesus showing up, meeting the resurrected Savior. Here's Mary Magdalene, and she's kind of despondent. We see that in verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher, and what was she doing? She was weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the sepulcher. And I'm pretty sure that then she was more despondent, because here was Jesus. Now, Jesus had told his disciples, he had told them, remember in John chapter 14, he says, hey, it's expedient that I go away. It's important. Hey, you know what? I go to prepare a place for you. But you know what? All of that they heard, but they really didn't hear. They were kind of unattentive. So Mary here is, and they had taken care of Mary and some of the ladies, and I believe it is some of the ladies, because she kind of says we through this context. And I believe in other passages it shows there was a couple other ladies that were there. But here John just highlights Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene is here highlighted because this is what's amazing. Right, after Jesus arose, I believe it's 11 times there was appearance. All right, there was 11 different appearances as far as the resurrected Jesus, the resurrected Savior. There's some people that say, oh, Jesus never rose. And in fact, they're down through history, they have said that Jesus Christ never rose. Now, some of them are just ridiculous. Some of the ideas, some of them say that Jesus on the cross passed out. And then when they put him in the tomb, you know, it was kind of cold and chilly. And all of a sudden he's like, oh, wow, that was bad. And then he got up and he left. Now that is just plain silliness. Because if not, we could take, and we probably have a lot of volunteers here this morning of parents, and we could take one of your teenagers, bring them up here, and we could reenact the crucifixion. How many parents? All right, I got a son. All right, we'll bring him up here. All right, and we reenact that. Well, you know that my son, well, a couple of them, they may be so weenified, all right, they would pass out just by looking at him. Like, ah! All right? Now, I'd understand that. We put him in a tomb, and the cold temperature would raise him back. Oh! You know what? But that's not what happened, and you know that. You read the scriptures and you look at what the Bible says happened to Jesus Christ. He was, one of the soldiers came out. Remember, the custom was to break their legs. And they came to Jesus and they knew he was dead, so they didn't break his legs. Instead, they pierced his side and out came blood and water. Most believe, medically, that piercing, the water came out because there is a water sac that goes around the heart and it pierced all the way to there and all of that came out. Jesus was dead. It's silly to say anything else. And even it's kind of silly to say that, remember there was a rumor, it says in one of the Gospels, at the end it says that there was a rumor spread by the Romans that the disciples had stolen the body and taken him away. Well, that's silly too. But this is what's amazing to me. And this is how the Bible is very true. And I'm not trying to offend women here, but if you go back to the Middle Eastern culture 2,000 years ago, this is what amazed me. The first person, what in this passage, what you're seeing is the first person Jesus appeared to after he rose from the dead. And you know who he rose? After he rose from the dead, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. Now, if I was Jesus and I lived at that time, I would want a whole crowd. And the reason I say this, because at this time frame in history, women were not even allowed to testify in court. They weren't even allowed to testify in court. Their testimony didn't count. And so, here is reported to you and I in the Bible that Mary Magdalene saw Jesus. Now, if I was writing the gospel, I'd be like, oh, no, no, no. If I was John and I was pinning these words, I'd be like, oh, no, 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 no. But Peter and John stood without at the sepulcher. Why? Why would they do that? Because Mary really wasn't even counted as a witness. But you know what? For God, it doesn't matter because he arose. He arose. He didn't care who saw him. And in fact, what's interesting to me is he always goes for the juggler kind of Jesus when he deals with things, because he appears to Mary Magdalene, and Mary Magdalene, you know, she was a lady that had 7 demons. 7 demons, and we know the maniac of Gadara. Now, she may not have been a lady of ill repute, but you know what? She probably was a little scary when the 7 demons were present. But Jesus comes and appears to her. So here we have in our context here, Jesus showing up. And what happens when Jesus shows up? Look at later on, we see in verse 16, Jesus saying to her, Mary, she turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. You can almost hear the peace come. You can almost hear the peace that is coming there. What do we mean by that? Well, when Jesus shows up, what's going to happen is you're going to experience peace. What do we mean by that? Well, Mary stood without the sepulcher and she was weeping. The weeping manifested her affection, but it also showed her unbelief. If she had believed Jesus Christ said about his death and resurrection, she'd have been overwhelmed with joy instead of overcome with grief. She'd say, oh, you know what? I knew this was going to happen. Jesus was going to come out of the tomb. Man! And right there, she's penning the words. She's writing it down. And for centuries later, we would be referring to Mary Magdalene, the composer of heroes. But that wasn't true. She was weeping because that doubt was there. You know what happens? There's a lot of unhappiness in this world. You know why? Because they've never met Christ. They've never met him. Jesus says that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth in a place called hell. That's Matthew 25. But Jesus says in Revelation chapter 21 that in heaven he will wipe away all tears. This is what I can tell you, because you may have been searching on your own to try to get to heaven, and you may have been saying, you know what, I can do this, and I can make it, and man, you know, the world teaches that there's some self-help, and I need some self-esteem, and I need some self-worth, and you know what you're going to find is that in yourself, you will be let down all the time. And here's Mary Magdalene, she said, man, if I could have done this, and I could have done that, but what she needed to do is just trust in Christ. And Christ, when you finally realize who the resurrected Christ is, what he will bring into your life is peace. I was reading or thinking about that, and this is what the Bible says. But now in Christ Jesus, this is Ephesians chapter 2, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. This is what Christ can do. When you meet the resurrected Christ, you may be despondent, you may be discouraged, you may be downtrodden, and you say, man, there is no hope. There is no hope in yourself. And there is no hope of you getting to heaven on your own. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why inside, all that you're doing, it seems to fall short. And it seems like it's not getting you there. And it seems as though there's still an unhappiness. And it is true. There is still an unhappiness. Why? Because without Christ, there is no peace. But with the resurrected Savior, you'll see that Jesus brought to Mary Magdalene peace. He brought peace to these guys later. Look at verse 19 in our passage. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Here's that fear. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, what did he say? Peace be unto you. And when he had said thus, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. Without Christ, you will have an unhappiness. Without Christ, you will have turmoil. But once you find this resurrected Savior, that's what we celebrate today. And every Sunday, that's why we have church on Sunday. There's some people that argue about it. In fact, I just got a book recently that some guy, some pastor sent me, and he said, this is why I am a Sabbath day Baptist. And he said, Jesus celebrated Sabbath. And I'm like, great. But also, I'm not really worried about where Jesus went on Saturday. What I want to do is celebrate Sunday. Because on Sunday, Jesus came out of the tomb, and I want my folks to know that because Jesus rose from the dead, then you can have peace in your heart. You can have peace in this world. And Jesus brought peace to you. He brings that peace to you because you can be made nigh to Christ. You can be made nigh to God. Why? Because Jesus Christ, through his blood, paid your debt. So what does Jesus do? Jesus, when you meet him, you're going to find peace. But look at secondly. Peace is this gift of God. Jesus said this, my peace I leave with you. My peace I leave with you. But here secondly, we see when Jesus shows up, we find also not just a new peace, but we find a new perspective. Until the resurrection, Jesus' disciples were kind of confused. And even Mary Magdalene was confused. She's sitting there and she's weeping and she's kind of confused. Why? Because the angels come to her and they say unto a woman, why weepest thou? Because they have taken him away, and I know that where they have laid him. All right, and then look at Jesus comes there, and she's still confused. Jesus says, woman, why weepest thou? She's supposing him to be the gardener, saying, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Now that is completely silly right there, just so you know. All right, here's Mary Magdalene. Now if she had the seven demons back, maybe she could pick up Jesus. All right, but here she's asking, hey, you know what, where did you take him? I'm going to pick him up and I'm going to bring him back. Well, if you read earlier, Joseph of Arimathea had brought, he actually buried Jesus, he wrapped him, and they brought spices. More than likely, it was about between 60 and 75 pounds of spices that they would do at the burial. So whatever Jesus weighed, then you add on about 50, 60 pounds, and here's Mary Magdalene like, I got him. You just show me where he's at, I got it. Well, you're not going to do that anyways. She's just kind of confused, isn't she? But what brings her back to reality? God's voice. Christ. All Jesus says is Mary. It reminds me of John chapter 10. What is John chapter 10? My sheep hear my voice, and they know me. See, it changes your perspective. My perspective in life changed when I found the resurrected Savior. And your perspective in life can change, because right now, maybe your whole life is trying to find that one person who will make you happy. You know what? I can tell you this, ain't never going to happen. I'm just kidding. All right, I have a great wife. All right, I have a great wife. Some of you are like, ooh, you're in trouble. All right, I have a great wife. I have a great family. All right, but my perspective is kept straight because of knowing Jesus. All right, you say, you know what? If I just land, I mean, just a few months ago they had that big lotto thing. If I could have landed that million, if I could have landed that, maybe you just give me 500 million. That would change my perspective. No, it wouldn't. You'd still be the loser you are. All right. You say, no, I'd just be a happy loser. I'd be a wealthy loser. Yes, you would. But you know what? That wouldn't change your perspective. Why? Because inside there would still be that unhappiness. There would still be that emptiness. All you have to do is look out in this world, and there are folks that have millions and millions of dollars, and it seems like there is no satisfaction, and that's why we read of them going up to their penthouse and loading up and overdosing with drugs. And that's why we find them at 45 years old and at 50 years old. Man, they've been through dozens of women or dozens of husbands, dozens of wives, because they say, where is happiness? I can tell you where. You will get the right perspective. Find the resurrected Savior. And the resurrected Savior, just in one word, he turned and said, Mary. And Mary all of a sudden knew, man, that is my Savior. Your perspective will change. Here, look at in verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. That act gave these disciples a whole new perspective. They knew Jesus had been crucified. They knew Jesus' body had been placed in a tomb. However, now they are given a whole new perspective. Jesus' disciples had been struggling. with this disillusionment, and they were here in fear. Remember in verse 19, they were there saying, man, I hope they don't find us. They killed Jesus, and we were followers. They're probably going to find us and kill us too. Upon seeing Jesus, they realized that death is not the end. And when you find Jesus, some of you, you say, well, how come throughout history we have had people give their life for the cause of Christ? You can read of their exploits. In fact, in our library, we have an original copy of Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's there in a case because it is an original copy. But there in that Fox's Book of Martyrs, you can read about folks that gave their life, and here they were burned at the stakes. They were, as the Hebrew says, they were sawn asunder, all kinds of horrible things. But some of them, as they're being burned at the stake, they're singing the hymns of their Savior. You say, oh, come on. How in the world can that happen? Because Christ gives you a new perspective, and death just brings you, ushers you into His presence. That's what the Bible tells me. And that's why then songs were wrote, and we sing the songs, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." Why? Because it's a different perspective. When you meet the Savior, the resurrected Savior offers you peace. He offers you a new perspective. But notice what else here. When Jesus shows up, He gives you a new purpose. We're talking about Mary Magdalene, and then we go down to the disciples. It says in verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that He had spoken these things unto her. But then look at verse 21. Then Jesus, He comes to them, says, "Peace be unto you." He changes their perspective, gives them peace. And then in verse 21, He says, "As my Father has sent me," what does He say now? "Even so send I you." You know why we have church? You know why we take our offerings and we buy buses? And man, sometimes it's a pain. We just had to, I was talking to our bus mechanic, and we had to get all of our buses inspected. And between in this matter of 10 weeks, to get all of our buses so we can provide transportation, we spent $32,000 to get all of the inspections up to par. In a matter of 10 weeks, you say, what a waste! No, it isn't, because we have a new purpose. And the purpose is that I serve a risen Savior. And that risen Savior can change people's lives. He can change you. And He gives you a purpose. You know what? I don't worry about the money. And I don't worry about these clothes. And I don't worry about what I have to eat. Because Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." And this is what I can tell you. You meet Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, and He will give you purpose in your life. He'll give you something to live for. Some of you don't have anything to live for. Say, oh, it's my family. And, hey, you know, family's good. Oh, it's my work. Work is good. But what about Jesus when He stepped in there and He looked at the disciples and said, hey, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. So I can be a worker for Jesus. Because you see, when I met the resurrected Savior, He changed my life. He gives me peace and He gives me perspective. And now He gives me purpose. And some of you, you're sitting here this morning, you say, yeah, I'm empty. That's why Jesus arose. The last thing we see here in this passage, look at just the next verse down. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So what did that mean? What did that mean? Well, if you take it and you compare it to other scriptures, what He was doing is giving them power. Giving them power. When you meet the resurrected Savior, some of you here You've been shackled by sin. It has you in bondage. You've tried, and it could be, some of you, it could even be depression. And it seems like you have these bouts of depression, and you can't seem to get over it. And man, you've gone to doctors, you've gone to therapists, you've gone to psychiatrists, you've tried pills, you've tried all kinds of different things, and it seems like it just keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. And then some of you, it's in the area of morality. Boy, you've had numerous bouts with different people, and you're still empty. You thought that man being sexually active, man, that'll make me happy, and you find that it almost depresses you. It's got you down and it's got you in bondage. Some of you, it's a matter of an alcohol. It's a matter of drugs. It's a matter of a cigarette stick. All these different things that are out there. But this is what I'm here to tell you this morning, that when you meet the resurrected Savior, He'll give you power to break all that. Just reading in the paper this morning, wife showed me an article about some prisoners that right here in the Porter County Jail. And it's interesting because you know what they're doing? They're studying the Bible for about 5 hours a day. And you know what the one guy has murdered. And it was interesting. My wife and I were talking about it because I'd never thought about it. But I guess he is reading his Bible because he gave a pretty good illustration. And he said, you know what? Moses murdered somebody and God used him. I was like, ouch. Wow, that's true. You know why? Because he met the resurrected Savior. It gives him hope. And when you study the Bible and you get in and you learn more about Jesus Christ and you find Him and you find the power that He can give you, then all of a sudden the drugs, they're not that important. The alcohol or the immorality or the depression, it can all go. Why? Because Christ says, I will give you the power to deal with this. Because I came to defeat the power of Satan. I came and I died and He could not keep me in the tomb. And because Christ came out of the tomb, you know what? There's other religions and they are there and they say, hey, you know what? Follow Muhammad. Follow Buddha. But you know what you will find? You will find their bodies memorialized in a tomb somewhere. But you can't find my Savior in a tomb. Why? Because my Savior said, you put me in a tomb and in 3 days I'll come out. And He did it. And what that tells me is that death has no hold on my Savior. And that's what this world, man, that death, that's a stronghold there. It scares you and says, all right, you know what? I got to give in. But my Savior came and He beat death. He put it under. And that same resurrection power is available to you here this morning. The resurrection power that Jesus Christ had made Him come out of the tomb. And there is Mary Magdalene. She's saying, oh man, I wish Jesus was alive. And He is. As He turned and said, Mary. And this morning, Jesus calls out to you. How do I know that? Jesus said He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus stands and He's calling. Maybe one day Jesus called my name, Steve, and I heard Him calling. And Jesus may be calling you. It could be Mary, Susie, Rick, George, Jeff, whatever your name is. Jesus isn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's a story of a man heading out west. He was watching the trains struggle up the hill. If you've gone out west, you've seen that. Man, they have long trains. And this train was at least a mile, maybe 2 miles long. And he came up on the train, and there was two locomotives at the back of it. And it was going up the hill, and he couldn't see up front. And he was looking, and here's these two locomotives, and they're just chugging. He put the window down, and he could almost hear the engine like, aah! I mean, it's just chugging away. He kept driving, and he got to the front of the train, and he looked over, and there was five locomotives at the front. And they were just pulling it. They were pulling it right up that hill. And he said, as a Christian, he looked at it and he thought, isn't that the story of my life? I'm at the back of the train there. And man, some of the things that I'm facing, I'm like, and just churning and churning and churning. When really, Christ on the other side has all the power necessary to just get me right over the hill. Because you know what? Christ, the Bible tells me this. I believe it's in Hebrews. It says he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Christ was perfect. And he was tempted. He was tried. And then this whole world, they put him on that cross and they said, you know what, crucify him, crucify him. Even as we talked last week, one of the malefactors, one of the thieves said, ha, 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 you know what, you saved others, can't you save yourself? Come on, take us down from here. But Jesus Christ looked out and he said, Father, forgive them. And then he cried out with a loud voice, it is finished. And don't you think that Satan thought, yeah, he's done. I finally defeated him. He's through. But 3 days later, all of a sudden, there's a rumble down in hell. All of a sudden, there's some news, and some of the devil's demons came in and said, did you hear? It's like, what are you talking about? We put Jesus, he cried out, it is finished. He said, there's rumors. And I don't know how the devil found out. But from that day forward, the devil knows that you find Christ, the resurrected Savior, his power over you is done. It's gone. And so what does the devil want you to do? He wants you to listen to some of these silly rumors saying that, oh, you know what? You don't need Christ. Hey, you can be as good as you can. Hey, it's all about works. It's all about adding baptism. He has come up with all kinds of plans because he knows once you find the resurrected Savior, you will have the peace. You will have a new perspective. You will have purpose. And you'll have the power you need for your life. Will you come to Christ this morning?